Okay, let's begin. Shviyas Daf Tesvav, as we are on Yud Dalet Amid Beis by the two dots, by the three lines up from the bottom, Tani. We're up to the Braisa, and today we get to talk about Egyptian beans. That's today's daf, where the Gemara discusses Sheish Midos, Amru Chachamim Bepola Mitzri. There are six measures, six different cases of a person, what is the halacha in terms of Trumas and Maisras when it comes to Pola Mitzri? It must have been a very common food at that time, because there's a lot that's written about it here, and there's a whole Braisa about Pola Mitzris. But that is what we're going to talk about here. So, and also, if you remember, back in towards the end of Kilayim, the Fayin Dalad, we had the Gemara said, there are six Svekas. Three of them were only to Beis Shammai, and some of them were even to Beis Hillel. So some of them were more popular, the ones that we know from elsewhere, Androgynous, and Koi, and Amitraxin, but then the first couple were just Beis Shammai, and one of them was this, the Pola Mitzri. The Pola Mitzri, and the we'll call it slaf, a couple of others, a certain type of kli, kli boris, is it, or another type of kli, is it like a kli charis? But anyway, today we talk about the Pola Mitzri. So sheish midos amru chacham and Pola Mitzri. Number one, and we don't even get finished all of them today, right? Today's daf you get through, I think five out of six. Zaro lezera. So what happens, again, a Pola Mitzri was a type of a bean that was planted, and sometimes it was used for its seed, and sometimes it was used for it to grow, and it becomes a leafy type of growth, and you eat it. So depending on what your kavana was, will depend on the year of Trumas and Maisras. Remember what we said in the last daf, right? We had the three different measurements, right? We had some items went by, the peiros went by, if they grew a, right, back two daf ago, a daf Yud Gimel and Aleph. We had peiros go after a shlish, orez, and duchin, those in our Mishnah, go after hashrasha, and vegetables go after lakita. B'shas Lakita, so Isuro. And the Gemara went through different makaros for each one of them. So Pola Mitzri, it depends. Zara Lazera Misasa L'Sha'avar. If it was Lazera, so then it goes by the previous year's Maisras. Like Kineas, they go after Hashrasha. Zaro liyerek, that's number one. Number two, Zaro liyerek Misasa L'Haba. But if you planted it to be eaten from its leafy leaves that grows, that is be treated like a vegetable. So then, misaser lavo, so then you go by the following year, which means when you cut it like a vegetable after lakita. That is number two. Number three, zaro lazera viyerek. Osha zaro lazera vechishav alav liyerek. What happens if you have both in mind? Zaro lazera liyerek. Right? For both, some of it you're going to use for seeds, and some of it you're going to let grow, and you're going to use for leaves. Or you change your mind. Shazara lazera v'chishev alav, and then you change your mind liyerek. So then, ma'aser mizara al yarko, miyarko al zaro. So then, you are ma'aser them together, from the zera on the yarek and the yarek on the zera. What exactly does that mean? So says the Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Pirish, lishneyem maiser echad, demis asrin lishe avar. He understands this line to mean, it goes by the previous year. Kedin zera. Because, like, if you have zera in mind, originally both, zera and yerek, or originally it was zera, and then you switch, change your mind, doesn't matter, you go by the previous year. Umishum da zera ikr vahayerek nigrar acharav. Because the zera is the ikr, that's the most common, the most popular way of using it, and the yerek is nigra. So if you have both, or even if you change one to the other, you go by the original thought. Stop there for a moment. So again, you see here that often just the machshava of a person can be mashpi on the halachic status, right? Even if without doing the maisa, but here depending on what your machshava is will depend what year. Right, depending how you're going to use something, that machshava, right? We have the comes up in Kalim numerous times. Let's read one Mishnah Kalim. Right, we know most of Kalim besides the first parak is all about when a kli is bekabel tuma, what parts of a kli is bekabel tuma. So a lot has to do with when you decide how to use it. So if I have a piece of leather, let's say I'm going to use it as a rug. So right now it's a flat processed piece of leather. I can use it as a rug right now. So it's gemar malach and it's makabel tuma because I'm going to use it as a rug. What if that was my kavana? What if I plan to make this into a coat? Right, I'm not going to use it as a rug. It's the same thing, same exact thing, but no, it's not Kamar Malach yet. Didn't have the last stage of completion. So my kavana, my machshava, makes a difference. My machshava makes a difference in terms of its status. The Mishnah says a kalim in Parachaf Hey. Kal akalim, yardin l'day tumasim and machshava. All kalim could become tameh b'machshava by somebody thinking about that is going to be it's going to be used in this. In this stage, veinam olim midei tumasa ela b'shini ma'isa. But once you decide, and we'll see this direction measurement also later on the daf. But once you decide, let's say that it's makabel tuma, then what if you then change your mind? Like, no, I don't want to use it as a rug. I want to use it as a coat. Once it's in the world of tuma, it can't just go out within the world of machshava. Veinam olim midei tumasa ela b'shini ma'isa. Why? Shaha ma'isa mevatel miyad ma'isa umiyad machshava. Because ma'isa is mevatel ma'isa and machshava. U'machshava ain't mevatel as lo miyad ma'isa lo miyad machshava. But machshava is not mevatel. Kavuk mark kedushin, please. So it depends. So you see, tuma specifically in the world of Kabbalah's tuma, that it plays a major role. Plays a major role in different areas of halacha. It plays more major roles than others. So the Gemara and Kiddushin, in the sugya of the power of machshava or the power of dibur, talks about tuma in a unique context. And the Gemara says that Kabbalah's tuma, that's a unique type of context. The Gemara says in Kedusha Daf Nun Tes, beginning of the third parak, the Gemara there talks about what happens if remember the Mishnah there. The Mishnah says a man gives a woman money and says, "Let's be married lachar lamed yom. We'll be married to you after 30 days." And then on day 20, the woman got cold feet. She's like, "I don't want to be married." So can she undo it? She already had the Maisa Kedusha already took place, but the Chalos Kedusha is only going to be later. So the Gemara asks, is she allowed to go back? Lo ba acher v'kitsha v'chazra ba mahu. Can she undo? Can she undo it? So you can't undo. Once a marriage is done, a marriage is done. Is the marriage done? It didn't really have an effect yet. That's a machlok. Is Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Rabbi Yochanan amar choser es asi dibur mefata dibur. Rabbi Yochanan says she can be choser because really halachically the only thing that happened so far is dibur and the physical act took place, but the halachic act, so to speak, didn't take place. So dibur kedam and uproot dibur. Reish Lakish amar eina choseres lo asi dibur umevatal dibur. Right, dibur cannot undo it in this case. The Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan asked one kasha from Reish Lakish, so they asked a number of questions, but one of the questions is from this Mishnah that I just read. Right, Reish Lakish has Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, who says, Lo asi dibur bati dibur, quotes the Mishnah. Kol akelim, we just read this Mishnah, that to become tamei is bachshava, but once it becomes tamei, you need a shini maisa. So the Gemara says, Bishlama miyan maisa lo mafka. I understand why dibur cannot uproot a maisa to lo asi dibur mavata maisa. Ela miyan machshava miyatafik. Right, if I thought I'm going to use this as a rug, and then it's makabel tuma. And then I decide I want to use this as a coat, so I have to process it more. Why can't that second machshava undo an earlier machshava? A machshava could undo a maisa, but why can't a machshava undo a machshava? So Reish Lakish says, look, I'm right. A machshava cannot undo a machshava. So the Gemara answers, shiny machshava de tuma dechi maisa dami. Now sometimes, in certain halachic contexts, machshava is ki'ilu, it's a maisa. It has such effect, it's as if you did a physical action. In the world of tuma, it's the chimaisa dummy. It's as if you did a maisa. Where do you see that? It's as if you did a maisa. So it quotes the sugya of hechshel kabel tuma. Hechshel kabel tuma. Derapabarami ksiv ki'itan v'charid ki'utain. Right, that in order for something to be makabel tuma, it has to become wet. So the Gemara quotes there that it shows that in the world of tuma, it's different. So here, in our Gemara also, the Gemara is discussing the machshava playing a major role, giving it certain status, and whether it could switch. Right? The Gemara here says, if you originally have lezera, and then you were machashev it liyerek, that you can't change that. You can't undo that. You can't undo that. It still goes by the ikker, which is the original zera. We have other contexts where machshava also plays a role. Remember the sugya of hazmana. Hazmana. If I designate something to be used, does it already have the status of that, even if I didn't use it yet? The Gemara Nedarim in the first parak, where it talks about hazmana lebeis akise. I designate an area, not like our bathrooms, which is clear that it's a bathroom, but I designate a room in the days of old, and I even maybe put a bowl in there to be used as a toilet. Hazman al-Besakise. Can I daven in that room? I never used it yet as a bathroom. But I just decided. Hazman al-Besakise. That's the Gemara's question. Ye zimun al-Besakise or ein zimun al-Besakise? Hazman al-Besamerchatz mao. Zimun mo'il or ein zimun mo'il? Right, that's the sugyas in Nedarim. Hazmana. What about hazmana for, and again, this is all about a person's thought. Person's thought to create a status. Hazmana for tashmish de kedusha. I mazmin tefillin bag. I'm going to use this as a tefillin bag. It was never yet used as a tefillin bag. I made it as a tefillin bag, but I never used it as a tefillin bag. Does it already have tashmish de kedusha status? Right? Hazmanas. So that's the sugi in brachas. On daf chav gimel or so. But the Gemara says, hai sudra de tefillin. Da azmine lemeitzer ba tefillin. I was mazmin it. Then the Gemara says, "Sarbe tefillin also lemeitzer b'pshite." If you already used it for tefillin, then you can't put coins in it. Azmane velo tsarbe, tsarbe velo azmane. If you designated it but you never used it, or you used it without designating it, you just happened to use it, then shari lemeitzer bezuze. Then it's okay. Hazmana lav milsa, machlokas hazmana milsa. So again, we find in many halachic contexts, a person's thought could create a status of the item. So here is another example of that. Depending on what your thought process is in terms of what you want to use these vegetable for, that would have an effect. Obviously, thought always is important in halacha. Kavana, mitzvah srichas kavana, ein srichas kavana, but that's not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about specifically a thought, a decision that has nothing to do with a mitzvah. Just has to do with my actions. What I'm going to use this for, right, does that itself has halachic effects. In the world of tumah, in the world of Zera here, Chubas and Maestris, in the world of Tashmishe Kedusha, right, all of these are examples of that. So again, let's get back to our Brisa. So the Brisa says, again, if I planted the Pola Mitzri to use for seeds, then it goes by last year. It goes by last year like the Kidneos. Like the rice, and it goes by hashrasha. If I want it as a vegetable, liyerek, so I treat it as a vegetable, and it goes by lakit, it goes by the following. If I want it, and it's a little tricky, this one, the third one. If I want it for both, zera or yerek, or I start for zera, then I want for yerek, and it goes by zera the previous year. But now the Gemara has two limitations on that. Two limitations on that. When does it go by the previous year? Number one, bishehevi shlish lefnei rosh hashanah. It goes by the previous year if a third of it had grown before Rosh Hashanah. That's when we say the Zera is significant, and it goes by the previous year. And Avalam Hevi Shlish Lacha Rosh Hashanah, Zara Mitzasu Lisha Avar. But if not, if it didn't bring a Shlish before Rosh Hashanah, then it's split. Then it's split. Zaro Mitzasu Lisha Avar, whatever you're planning to use as seeds to replant, so that goes by the previous. That goes by the hashrasha, v'yarko misaser shalstikatas l'kitas v'yisuro. You can't say the yarek is going to be batel and secondary if it grew in a different year, and therefore if it didn't get to a shlish of its growth before Rosh Hashanah, said you split it. You split it. The whatever you're using for zera goes by the previous year. Wherever you're using for yarek could go by the following year. We said I could have two separate maestras for the same plant. Okay, I guess maybe you look at it as two separate vegetables or two separate growths, and therefore each one would have its own separate halacha. And another limit. This is all bishelikat mimenu lifnei Rosh Hashanah. Not only was it maybe shlish before Rosh Hashanah, but you actually gathered some of this zeraim before Rosh Hashanah. Avalam likat mimenu lacha Rosh Hashanah. But if you gathered it after Rosh Hashanah, so then both the lakita and the hava shlish was after Rosh Hashanah. Then everything goes by the next year. Beizara ben Yarko misaser lahaba. So this has three different halachos, this stage number three that we have here. Again, if you had both in mind, you had either originally or you changed from Zera to Yarek, then it depends on three things. If it reached Shlish Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, if it reached Shlish Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, so then it all goes by, and you did Lakita before Rosh Hashanah, some of it, then it all goes by Lisha Avar. If it reached Havash Lish and Lakita after Rosh Hashanah, then everything goes by Lahaba. But if it reached Lish before Rosh Hashanah, if you did Lakita after Rosh Hashanah, so then If it was maybe shlish la'achar Rosh Hashanah, so then you split it. Then the zerah goes by l'sha avar, and the yerah goes by the following layer, l'kitaso yisura. Okay. Again, these yisodos are used, if one would have a similar type of vegetable today, that is used both for its seeds and for its leaves, then it would have a parallel. But that is number three. Next. We're still, now the Gemara just reiterates, according to a number of Mefarshim, the next line, Zeror lezera, if somebody is planted originally Zera v'chisha liyarek, bon b'machshava, so Zera, and then Yarek, then bon b'machshava, so it's the same as if he had both intentions originally, which how number three started, that was just reiterating the previous line. Meaning nothing changed if you changed in the middle, if you had both in mind, that's number three. Number four. Zaro liyarek v'chishev alav lazera, the opposite of number three. First you think they're going to use it for yarek, for the leaves, which would mean the following year, lakita. And then you say, no, you actually want to use some for its seeds. V'chishev alav lazera, la'olam ein machshev zera chala alav. Machshava zera cannot overcome, right? As we just said before, sometimes, like we said by Kiddushin, the machshava cannot be oker something. The machshava doesn't help. If you think yerek first, and there's zera, that doesn't help. Why not? Says the Chazon Ish. Because once you think of it as yerek, then you're basically saying it's food. Basically saying it's food. And if it's food, so then to undo that, you have to do a maisa. You can't just do a machshava. Like similar to what we've said before, some machshavas have maisa status. Remember we said in the towards the end of Kilayim, I think we had the sugya of sometimes dibur could have maisa status, right? In terms of lav sheish ba maisa ein ba maisa, sometimes the Gemara has a discussion akima svas of havi maisa. Remember the Gemara said, does dibur have the status of maisa in terms of if I lead kilay behema with my voice, right? I tell the animals to go with my voice. The Gemara says that's an issur daraisa. There, the dibur itself has effects of a maisa. Hilchas Shabbos, maybe not. If I call my animal from outside the tchum, the Gemara was machalik between these cases about a couple weeks ago. Right? If I call my animal, no, the animal goes by itself. Or the third context: if an adon makes his eved deaf through making a loud noise next to his ear but doesn't touch him, is that called yitziyah b'shein v'ayin? The Gemara says no. Because he could have run away, whatever it is. So sometimes dibur, whether that's called a maisa, depends on the halacha context. Here we're talking about, does the machshava have the status of maisa? So the Chazon Ish here says, in Hilchas Maisras, Siman Aleph, the Chazon Ish says, the machsheves yerek haba'a la'acher machsheves zera, ba'a b'machshava, u'machsheves zera haba'a la'acher machsheves yerek, tzricha manias onos. That's going to need a maisa. What's the difference? If I think the previous line that we just said in stage three, we said if you think Zera first and then Yerek, that could have an effect. That second Machshava could have an effect. If you will maybe Shlish after or for Lilkita, but the opposite direction does not have an effect. If I first think Yerek, I first think I'm going to let this grow and eat it as a vegetable. And then I think, no, I'm going to use it as a seed and replant it. That cannot undo the previous machshavas yerek. Why? Says the Chazon Ish. V'tam chilukan. The machshavas zera habal achar machshavas yerek hanidon levatel as a yerek mitaras ochel. Ubazel osaki b'machshava. Once it has a shame ochel, then you can't undo it. You can't undo it if it has a shame ochel. And therefore that's not going to work. Ella, now back to the Gemara. Now back to the Gemara for a minute. I'm sorry, the Ramban Vayikra. Ella imkein, mana mimenu shalosh merbios. Unless you do a maisa. If you do a maisa with your Egyptian beans that show that you're not interested in having this as a vegetable, as a food, but you want it as a seed, so then that is going to have an effect. What do you have to do? How do you show? You don't water it for three times it's supposed to be watered. Because for it to be a yerek, it needs a lot of watering. Remember we just said in the last time, why do yerekos go by zman l'kitaso? Because the rain, the most recent rain, has a big effect on it. Not the earlier part of what causes it to grow, but the later part. So here too, it needs a lot of rain. So if I skip three waterings, that's already a maisa that shows I'm not interested in eating this anymore as a vegetable, as a leafy item. LMK monumenta shalosh morbios. And only if I don't water it three times, and b'shehevi shlish l'vnei Rosh Hashanah. And also, it was maybe shlish before Rosh Hashanah, that also, I cannot change anything. Aval hevi shlish l'acha Rosh Hashanah, but if it was maybe shlish after Rosh Hashanah, afilu, we take out the next word, take out low. Afilamana mena shalosh berbios. Right? Even if you didn't water it three times, if it was maybe shlish beforehand, so then if it was maybe shlish l'achar Rosh Hashanah, then it doesn't change. Period. That is all number four. The idea of giving something the status of a food, so that we're familiar with from Hekshel Kabbal Tuma. From Hekshel Kabbal Tuma, right? That we know from Parsha Shmini, the din da'araisa is that a food is not able to be Mekabel Tumah unless it becomes wet with one of the seven liquids. We know that the sugya, the last parak in Machshirin, quotes the seven liquids, Yad Shach Adam, that's the Rashi Tevis, and I have a cucumber, a dead body. I cut a cucumber from the ground, and a dead body touches the cucumber. The cucumber is Tahar. Cucumber is not Mekabel Tumah yet. Why not? Because it has to become wet. Right, that's the din d'araisa, right, in Parsha Shmini. It has to become wet. So why does it have to become wet? And it applies to anything, any type of food. It doesn't apply to a kli, but any type of food has to become wet. So Rashi says, Rashi's lulamedcha shelo hukshar v'nitkan lios ochel l'kabal tuma achiyav olav mayim. That's Rashi on the pasuk. So if you're medayik in a lumdus way in Rashi, right, it's not nitkan to be in ochel unless water comes on it. If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch here, Sefer HaChinuch Abayi Shashmini says, maybe I'll give you a little svara, because most of the time we don't eat fruits and vegetables before we wash them first. And so before you wash them, it's not really called a vegetable yet, or a fruit yet. You're not going to want it. So again, he's not saying that for sure. There are plenty of people out there that would eat before they wash, but the halacha takes that into account, and therefore, until you wash it, it is not Mekabel Tumah. Right, for Hilchos Shabbos, is it borer to wash a fruit to get the dirt off? Right, is that borer? So many poskim say no, or Sternbach has a tshuva. Many people would eat it with the dirt on. They wouldn't be so careful about it. If your mother's not around, so then, you know, you'll eat it, but without washing it. So it's not borer. It's not such a mixture. Right? The halacha is anything that you would partake of without separating. It's not called separating when you do it. The Shulchan Aruch talks about you're allowed to drink water, putting a little garment on the edge of the kli, even if that's going to catch some of the dirt. If you would drink the water without that separation, you're allowed to use one of these, like sometimes they have these filters on your, like you have a filtered body, put water in a thing, and as you pour it out, the filter goes. Is that a kli borer? So the Chazonish says, if you would not drink the water without the filtering, that's a problem. But if you would drink the water anyway, you're just doing it extra. This is what you put the water in. So that's not called borer, and that's okay, right? Washing the fruit. Okay, but this is Lamdas. This is Rashi in the Sefer HaChinuch. The Ramban doesn't say that. The Ramban seems to say, nothing to do with Ochel. It's food beforehand, it's food afterwards. This is called an apple before and after I wash it. But there's some type of spiritual electricity that only transfers through the medium of moisture. That's the Ramban. Right? You need the medium of moisture to transfer Tumah. V'itachin olomar. Let me find the line. V'tama hechsher. Here it is. Ramban Yud Aleph Lamed Zayin. Ba'avur ki lichlo chasheretz v'hametamim. Right, the spiritual dirt yidabek b'ma'achalim b'lachus v'lo kein b'yaveshim. The spiritual tuma will only stick to foods that are wet. Right, you need a conductor. Right, the moisture is a conductor of the tuma, and therefore it has to become wet. We hold that even after it becomes dry, once it becomes wet once, that's good enough. It has to become wet after it's detached. Everything becomes wet while it's attached. It rains. So the Ramban says, V'yasta atara harchaka yesera letame hamukhsharim b'mayim v'nigvu shelo nitan dvarenu l'shi'urim. Never heard this many years ago, but Yonason Sack says, here you have the example of a low plug on a daraisa level. Right, it has to become wet. What does the Ramban say? Even after it becomes dry, the Torah basically says, lo plug, the Ramban says. Lo ninu l'shira. We're not going to be mechalik. Once it becomes wet, that's it. Right, even though it became dry once. We're not going to make any distinctions. We're used to lo plug on Durabanan context. But he quotes this Ramban as a lo plug on a daraisa, in a daraisa context. Okay, so that is all number four. That's the fourth level stage of this Egyptian bean. Number five, Zara Lazara. What happens if I planted it, lezera, for its seed, and then have to add in a detail, and then you change your mind for yerek, right, like in the third case, in the third case, v'yasa kulok satsin gemur in lefnei Rosh Hashanah. But then it grew very quickly. It grew very quickly, and it was all ready before Rosh Hashanah. Right? It was a very early crop. The seeds were completed their growth very early. So what do we already say in case three, where you switch from Zera to Yerakos? It all goes by the Zera. As long as it was before Rosh Hashanah, and it was Hushrash and Lakita. But here, explains the Gemara, it's hard to say that the Yerek is going to follow the seeds, because it was basically finished very early. And therefore, we're not going to say that the Yerek is Nigrar after the Zera, but Zara Metaser L'Shavar, Yerko Metaser B'Shasli Kata, so Isuro. Because the seeds were finished very early, and then it started sprouting, you can't say that it goes by the seeds. It's as if that's a separate crop. And therefore, we're not going to count that. It's not going to be Nigrar. Right? So if you look in the Amara Fulda, Vasa Kulo Kitzatzin, third wide line, Lefi Mashmas HaTosefta, Yu Kitzatzin Gemar Kalapri, Shehi Re'uya L'Kitzira Shalom B'Dochak. It's already done. It's already finished. Rev Chaim Kadievsky says, Shehim Bishlu HaPeiros Kol Tzarachan before Kodem Rosh Hashanah. It's all finished. V'achar Rosh Hashanah, Hosifu Ksas Alim L'Smoach. So he says this means it's all finished, and then there's some extra growth after Rosh Hashanah. So you can't say that extra growth is going to go by the previous year, because it's as if it's a separate product, a separate tkufa that it grew in, because so much happened already, it's looked at as separately. So that is, again, a detail number five. Before we get to number six, which is tomorrow's daf, we mentioned this in the past, but there are other halachas that have to do with Egypt, besides the Egyptian bean that we are talking about. Two halachas that come to mind that have to do with Mitzrayim, one of them is that you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. Not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. You can live in anywhere. A Jew can live. Again, it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But there's no iser to live in anywhere except Mitzrayim or the Kodesh Kodashim. Right? Those are the two places I would say one is not allowed to live. Even though there was a time in history that a Jew lived in the Kodesh Kodashim. When was that? I have to learn Sefer Malachim. Right? When Atalia, the queen, killed out the entire Malchus Beis David. And the Kohen Gadol and his wife, I think, forgot his, Elishama, I forgot the exact Kohen Gadol's name, and his wife Elisheva, maybe. They hid the little baby, Yoash, I think it was. He was a baby, he was the only one. They saved his baby. He was the only, person left in all of Malchus Beis David. And they hid him in the Kodesh Kodashim for 6 years. For 6 years until, and the Talia, the other kings thought that, that nobody was left, and after when he was 6 years old, they brought him out, and, they were mamlechim, and everybody realized, wow, there is somebody who's left. So he lit, that was Pikuach Nefesh. So Pikuach Nefesh, one is allowed to live in the Kodesh Kodashim. Other than that, one can't live in the Kodesh Kodashim, one can't live in Mitzrayim. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim says, Umutar Lishchon Bachala Olam, you can live anywhere in the world, Chutz Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Except for Eretz Mitzrayim. Now allowed to live in Mitzrayim. Ubishlosha Mekomas is Ziratorish Losha of Mitzrayim. And three times, three places, three separate losases, as counted as one, but three times the Torah emphasizes not to return to Mitzrayim. Loso Sifun Lashu Baderach Hazeh Od, don't go back this path. Lotosif Od Lerosa, Lotosifa Lerosam Od Ad Olam. V'Alexandria Bichlal Ha'Isser. And Alexandria is included in the Isser. And then the Rambam says you could go back for business purposes temporarily. This is only to live there, to go there, to move. And you don't get malchus because the second that you went in, you didn't do the Isser yet. Maybe you're just going for business and you're going to come back. And then you decide later on to stay. So then it's a lav she'ein bo maisa. So the big shaila on the Rambam is he lived in Mitzrayim. For so many years, was it Pikuach Nefesh every single day for the Sultan? Maybe. I don't know, maybe it's Pikuach Nefesh. So the Radvaz here, the Radvaz also lived in Mitzrayim, right, for many years, and then moved to Eretz Yisrael. V'yim Talmur, Amas Amchu, remember the Gemara in Sukkah, was such a huge shul in Alexandria, they had to wave the flags in order to know when to say Amen. That was Alexandria. That was Mitzrayim. That means huge Jewish communities. And over the years, there were big communities in Mitzrayim. Rav Avad Yosef went to be the rabbi in Cairo. So, various suggestions given. Maybe, the Radvaz says, maybe the Isser is only to go there with Kavanah to stay there. But if you go there for business, and then you end up staying there, so then maybe, you know, there is no Isser. Maybe the Isser is only, some say, to follow the same exact path that Bnei Yisrael went from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, don't follow the exact same path back. Right, and that's why it says the Masos. So we know that, which is kind of like an undoing of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The problem is that only one pasuk says that. Don't go back on this path. The other one just says, don't be there. Don't go back to Mitzrayim. It doesn't say Dafka on that path. So that's what the Radvaz wonders at the end. V'im tomar tikshi l'rabenu, sherenish takeh b'mitzrayim, v'yish lomar da'anus haya apim ha'malchus l'melech v'asarim. He was the king of the doctor of the sultan. V'gam ani nisyashavti shem zman meruba, lul motoro ulamda. I was there teaching Torah, learning Torah. V'kavati shem yeshiva, says the Radvaz. V'chihai gavna mutter. Learning Torah, I guess, one of the reasons you're a little out of leave Eretz Yisrael. V'shuv basi b'Yerushalayim. But now I'm in Yerushalayim, says Radvaz. So, Baruch Hashem. Anyways, so that's one area of halacha that has to do with Mitzrayim. And of course, the other one is Parshas Kisetze. And that is, for the first three generations, a Mitzri is not allowed to marry a Jew. Into the call. So a Mitzri, first generation, has got to find another convert of a Mitzri. So that's what they can marry. And once they get to the third generation, so then they're allowed in, right? Unlike Amon and Moav, who are always out. But the other area of not being allowed to marry into the kahal. Okay, there's more, but we'll stop here and we'll continue tomorrow with number 6 type of situation regarding the Egyptian bead.